When you have your Bible, open it, please, to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and let's begin there this morning. Interesting, you will see in the songs that that you chose this morning for us, sister. They'll go forth in victory, triumphing over the enemy, yes. They'll go forth to kick in the gates of hell, for they are the army of God. For the battle has been won through the blood of God's own Son, who has walked from death to life, and the gates of hell are torn. And the mighty Son's been born. And then we had the manifestation of the charismatic gifts this morning. And the Lord said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It fascinates me, it always has fascinated me, how the Spirit of God orchestrates the services. And if we are all open and available to the Holy Spirit, He will use us no matter what our responsibility is. Whether we're preparing the music, whether we're bringing forth a message in tongues, whether we're operating in the interpretation of those tongues. But you will see one of the scriptures that's in my message this morning is the scripture that came forth in the interpretation today. Now, you know what that says to me? It says, son, you're right on the target here, man. Amen. And that is really significant. You know, that is significant to me. And what an encouragement that is to me to know. And I prayed on the way in this morning, Lord, I want to speak your words today. I want to speak the words that the people need to be hearing today. And he's just putting all this together. Well, in Acts 16, Paul and his evangelistic entourage are in the city of Philippi. And this was the occasion that the gospel came to Europe for the first time. Philippi is a city in Macedonia, northern Greece, which we would consider to be part of the European continent. And as far as we know, at least as far as the record is, that was the first time that the good news of Christ had come to the European continent. And of course, that's important to us because so many of us are of European extraction and ethnicity. And so we pick up the story here today in Philippi in the 16th verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, which would be a young and unmarried woman, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. Now, a spirit of divination would be what kind of spirit? A good spirit or a bad spirit? A bad spirit. This is a demonic spirit. The Greek actually says, doesn't use the word possessed, but it says having a spirit. But it's obvious in terms of what we would consider to be possession that this young woman was possessed by this spirit because of the way that the spirit used her, dominated her. So a certain woman possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now, divination, to divine something, means to foresee it or foretell it. This is a fortune-telling girl. This is Madame Dora who... Okay? You know Madame Dora? Or Madame Chandra? Or Madame whoever, who has a house along a main highway, and there's a sign in front that invites you to come in and have a reading. That's who this is. Now, whether Madame Dora is the real article, possessed with an evil spirit or not, this damsel was. And we're told that this damsel brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, we get the impression that this is a slave girl. And those who owned her used her to tell fortunes for a price. And this is how they made their living. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us," or unto you, the Greek says, "the way of salvation." Now, the message that this demon is speaking through her is an accurate message. It's a true message. But think about everybody in that community would know what this girl's forte was. She's a fortune-telling girl, right? Paul didn't want to have any association with anything like that. And even though this girl is saying the truth, she is making a spectacle of Paul and his gospel-preaching troop. And he does not, you know, the God does not need the devil to get his work done. He does not need the devil as his advertising campaign or his ad manager. And so this is bothering Paul. I mean, this is really bugging him. Everywhere they go, here's this girl. And the devil's using her to distract the people and to throw a cloud over the message that Paul is bringing. So verse 18 says, "This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." This is how deliverance is administered. The Spirit is spoken to directly. The name of Jesus is applied in faith. And that demonic spirit must obey the command in the name of Jesus. If you are dealing with demonic spirits, either in your own person, and we do at times, doubt is a spirit, fear is a spirit. If you have a stronghold in your life, a sin that besets you, Hebrews chapter 12 said, let's lay aside the weight that hinders us and the sin that besets us. And look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You ask the question, can a Christian have a spirit, have a demon spirit? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Christians can be troubled by demonic spirits. Can a Christian be possessed by a demon spirit? I don't believe that, no. But can you be oppressed? Oh my goodness, if you've been around Christians very long, if you've been in church very long, you know that there are demonic spirits that exercise their nature through Christians. So we must know how to deal with them. We must know how to handle this in our own lives or in the lives of others when we are confronted. The way we deal with them is to command the Spirit, recognize the difference between the Spirit and the person in whom the Spirit is dwelling. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, literally wicked spirits in the heavenly places or in the sky. So our enemies are not those people who are creating problems for us. Our enemies are the spirits that are driving those people. And even in our own persons, we're not the enemy. The enemy is that demonic spirit that is looking to use us to express his nature. That's what demon spirits do. You get an unclean spirit, an immoral spirit, a lustful spirit, and it will want to express its nature through you. You get a terrorizing spirit, an angry, cruel spirit, and that demon will want to express his nature through you. You get a profane, blasphemous spirit, that spirit will want to display its nature through you. And through you to exercise, to bring harm to others as well as to you. A spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. What does that tell you? It tells you fear is a spirit. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And so when fear comes upon you, what do? Fear in the name of Jesus, get out of my life now. When you're dealing with fear in one of your children, you got a little child and a terror comes up in them. What is that? This is how you deal with them. You command the spirit. You speak directly to the spirit. You say, well, how do I know? You know. You know. You just know. You speak to the spirit. Use the name of Jesus. You have a right to do that. Jesus said, all authority, where? In heaven and where? In the earth. All authority is given unto me. Go ye, therefore. I'm giving you my authority. And my authority is in my name. Because didn't Paul say in Philippians chapter 2 that there is no other name given? The name of Jesus is higher than any other name. Now, you'll read also in the book of Acts where some Jewish sons of a priest, name of Siva, tried to cast some demons out of a guy. The unfortunate problem they had was they didn't have the authority to use the name. And so they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Not the Jesus I know, but the Jesus Paul preaches. Well, the demon didn't yield to that because the guy who, the seven sons who were using that name had no authority to use it. And that man in whom that demon was jumped on those seven guys and just beat them to a pulp. Now, you read that passage, and you say, well, you don't want to have anything to do with that. But see, you are not one of the sons of Siva. You are a son of God. You're a child of God. There is no demon, including Satan himself, that is as powerful as the name of Jesus in your lips. Amen. Just remember, that's your authority. The authority of you as a believer to use the name of Jesus. You have just as much authority as Paul did. When he spoke to that demon came out of her. Verse 19 says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Follow the money. They lost their livelihood, and so they're going to attack the messengers. They didn't like the message. They go after the messengers. Now, you know who was in this crowd. It's not flesh and blood. It's wicked spirits, isn't it? The rulers of the darkness of this world driving these people. So they brought them to the magistrate saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. They weren't troubling the city. All they were doing was troubling their income. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. You know, when you do the work of God, doesn't mean you're not going to get beat. Doesn't mean you're not going to have opposition. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. But watch this. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, I'm sure that was very unpleasant, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. All right, now get a picture of this. here's Paul and all of those that are with him, Silas and Luke and who wrote the book of Acts and all the rest of his troop. And here they are in the deepest part of the prison. Not only are they behind bars, they're in stocks. You know what the stocks are. In other words, their feet are locked in stocks. Can't move. What do? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. If God is on my side, what can man do unto me? God is on my side. Those devils, they think that they're getting back at us, but those devils do not have a clue as to who's living in my heart. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Everybody say suddenly. There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. No, that's a good place for a hallelujah. I was reading this week, and these words almost lifted off the page. You know, they jumped off the page. We use that euphemism to describe how we feel when we read something. These words verily jumped off the page at me. Everyone's bands were loosed. Whatever binds you, a lot of us are bound and we're too embarrassed to tell anybody. Amen. There are things in our lives that we hate. There's stuff going on that drives us, that binds us, that hinders us, that troubles us. We've probably talked to God about it, but we can't seem to get past it. We can't seem to get through. Well, I'm just like this. No, you're not! We are made in the image of Jesus Christ, not the image of an almost Jesus, but in the image of an all Jesus. And whatever it is that binds us, whatever it is that the sin that so easily besets us, whatever it is, the thing that is a blanket on our fire, a rain on our parade, a hindrance to the fullness of the life that Jesus has provided for us. It's got to go. It's got to go. Every man's bands, were loosed. Now, the devil can put you in a prison. He can put your feet in the stocks. But he cannot stop God from setting you free. Amen. When I walked in this morning, I saw over top of the table in the garage someone glued some letters onto a banner. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. What does it mean to be free? It means to be free from fear. It means to be free from doubt. It means to be free from unbelief. It means to be free from confusion. It means to be free from lust. It means to be free from dirty thoughts. It means to be free from the slavery to sin. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not a little bit free. I tell you, so many Christians are living a life that is mostly bondage, hanging on until we get to heaven one day. But that is not the Christian life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy and hinder that life. Here's this young damsel. Somehow over time, we're not told, the demons get access to her life and possess her and drive her and use her. Paul, in the name of Jesus, sets her free. Here's Paul and Silas and Luke and the rest of those that were with him, and here they are, feet in their stocks, and in the innermost parts of the prison, God sends an earthquake. Boom! The stocks open up, the prison doors open, and every man's bands were loosed. Reminds me of what happened to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You remember those three young Hebrew men? Nebuchadnezzar says, you don't fall down and worship me, my image. I throw you in the furnace. He heats the furnace seven times hotter than it was normally heated. He takes his soldiers and says, throw them in. They get up so close that his soldiers get fried. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown in the pit where the fire was. Nebuchadnezzar looks in to see what he can see, and he saw four guys in there. You remember that? And he said, one of them looks like the Son of God. And in the fire, what did the Son of God do? Loosed their bands. Remember what they had done? They tied them up when they threw them in. Burned the ropes off of them. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. That's a miracle, don't you know it? Nebuchadnezzar said, man, I know who God is now. Don't you think he would? Yes, you would too. I know that your God is God. Amen. Second Corinthians. Chapter 10. And here's the word that the Spirit of the Lord brought to us this morning through the interpretation of tongues. You think God's not trying to tell us something today? Second Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh. Our life is a natural life here on the earth. If you pinch yourself, there's something real there. It's flesh. But we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or natural or worldly. There is no carnal or fleshly or worldly way of dealing with the spirit of fear or the spirit of confusion. Now the world tries. They bottle it. It looks amber in color. Hey there. They put it in little pills. And you can go and pay $150 and have somebody write you a prescription for them. And then you can go to the drugstore and pay your copay. and you get a bottle. Those are carnal weapons. Those are worldly ways for dealing with demonic interference and hindrance in people's lives. Hello, are you listening? But our weapons are not like that. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. We have spiritual weapons. And the most powerful one is a five-letter word spoken in faith, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We have spiritual weapons that are mighty through God, and what will those weapons do? Not mask the symptoms, but pull down strongholds. Yes. Yes. Pull down strongholds. Attacking a fortress in your life and jerking down the walls. You don't have to live like the devil wants you to live. You live like God wants you to live, and that is free to be everything that He has said you can be. Amen. That's what it means when the Bible says, when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Completely and totally free. Now, any person who lives in a prison within, and don't you know millions, probably billions, what's the population of the world, 5 billion? Don't you know that the vast majority of the people in our world are living in prisons, spiritual prisons? The unfortunate thing is that many Christians, many church members, are living in prisons as well. Some through ignorance. And some through a desire to live in the prison. Hello. Sometimes people like the prisons they're living in. Oh, I like my prison because I get lots of attention. Oh, I love my prison because everybody feels sorry for me. Oh, I love my prison because every time I turn my computer on and watch that pornography, it excites me. Hello. Sometimes people like their prisons. But if you don't like the prison that you're in, get out. Every man's band was loosed. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Poverty's a prison. Hello? Poverty is a prison. You don't have to live there. Now, you can't sit on the street corner and say, I'm going to be free from poverty. The hand of the diligent, the proverb says, shall make rich. You can't, we've been learning in the Proverbs on Wednesday night, you can't get up in the morning and say, oh, I think there's a lion in the streets, I don't think I'll go to work today. Oh, I hear we're supposed to get rain today, I don't want to get wet, I don't think I'll go to work today. You can't be lazy. If you are, you're loving your prison of poverty. Ooh, it got quiet. That's right. You can say amen or oh me, but it's the truth. Any stronghold in your life that robs from you, that steals from you, that kills or destroys something good in your life can be pulled down and you can be free from it. Romans chapter 6. I love this passage. Now watch this. Romans chapter 6, I'm beginning to read in verse 6. We'll read a number of verses here. Knowing this, everybody say, knowing this.
Knowing this.
Now say, I know this. That our old man is crucified with him. I'm crucified. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Say, I'll not serve sin. I won't serve it. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I don't think Christ is in any prisons, do you? I don't think there's anything in his life that is hindering any part of the image of God in him, do you? I don't either. That's the way we're supposed to live. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, because death hath no more dominion over him, or over you, or over me. For in that he died once, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Every day he's alive. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Fear, you have no place in my life. Why would I call fear sin? Because Romans 14, I believe it's verse 22 or 23, said, whatsoever is not of faith is... Hey, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is fear? It's the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the devil's word. Faith is believing what God said. Are you listening? Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Because you have spiritual weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of any kind of stronghold that sin has set up in your life, and you do not have to obey it unless you choose to. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The children sing a little song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And be careful, little ears, what you hear. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. And so on. So yield not your members, your eyes, your ears, your feet, your hands, as instruments of unrighteousness that bring forth sin, but rather yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion or exercise lordship over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Amen. You can be free and you should be free. Any Christian who lives in bondage is there either because of ignorance or choice. Now, you can die bound and still go to heaven. Because we're saved by grace through faith, not through anything else. But why would we want to live that way? Why would we want to fill our lives with things that hurt us and then lay down on the pillow at night when all is quiet and feel guilty? Lord, I'm sorry I did that today. I'm sorry I said those things today. I'm sorry I allowed that in my life. Why would we want to live that way? Would it be better to lie down on our pillow at night and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for being my God, being my Lord, giving me a wonderful day, filling my life with such wonderful things, and for giving me this glorious freedom? Thank you, Lord, for freedom from guilt and fear and doubt and confusion. Thank you, Lord, that I have passion, but I don't have lust. Hello? Hello? I heard someone say this morning on the radio, passion is from God, lust is from the devil. Very good way of putting it. Now let's wind up in Hebrews. I mentioned it earlier, but I want us to look at it. Hebrews chapter 12. The 12th chapter obviously follows the 11th. And the 11th chapter, it's stunning. It's stunning the wonderful things that I'm able to tell you, isn't it, huh? 12 follows 11. I mean, I amaze myself at times, you know. I do. The 11th chapter is God's Hall of Fame or His Hall of Faith and all the wonderful personalities from the Old Testament, from Jewish history, that obtained a good report from God because of their faith. And then he says here in the beginning of chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about or we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside something we have to do. We must exercise the authority Jesus gave us. We must utilize the power that he has placed in our hands. We must lay aside. We have to make a decision. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, the sin that besets you may not be the sin that besets me. It may be fear that besets you. It may be gluttony that besets me. It isn't, but it could be. It may be confusion that besets you. It may be unbelief that besets me. It may be immoral thoughts that beset you. It may be something else, anger, short temper, that besets me. The sin which doth so easily beset us, let's lay that aside and run with patience or steadfastness the race that is set before us. In other words, it matters how we live. It matters how we live. I don't know why this was, but the other day I was thinking about James Fulcher's funeral and the message that his pastor brought, where he said in essence that while it's important that we die well, it's also important that we live well. And it's very difficult to live poorly and die well. If we want to die well, we must live well, because we're going to die the way we live. That was a good message. Good message for a funeral, actually. Let's run with steadfast endurance and perseverance the race that is set before us, whatever that thing is that besets us. Let's be sure we get victory over it. And here's how we'll get that victory. Looking unto Jesus. Now, above the word Jesus, I have written the Word. In other words, how do we look to Jesus? He is the Word, isn't He? Isn't He the living Word, the Word made flesh? So how do we look to Jesus? Look to His Word. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who got us born again, and the finisher of our faith. He will take us through. Who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we want. We want to be acceptable in the sight of God and as acceptable as we can possibly be. Romans 8 and 29 says that God has predestined us, to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's in the mind of God that we should be like Jesus. That's why we are called Christians. The name Christian didn't just come out of the blue. The name Christian was given to the believers at Antioch for the first time because the unbelievers saw that they were like Christ. It ought not to be that we'd have to tell somebody that we're a Christian. They ought to know it. They ought to be able to see it. They ought to be able to see the power of God in our lives. They ought to be able to see the nature of Christ in our lives. They ought to be able to see the freedom that He provides. Your bands can be loosed too. Your bands can be loosed too. Now you might say, I don't really recognize anything like that in my life. I didn't either till I asked God. You know, He knows stuff about us that we don't know. He does. And He will tell us, He will reveal those things if we'll ask Him. I said, Lord, why is it that I'm having so much trouble, yada, yada, yada? I've told you that story many times in the past. Why is that? I have so much trouble. He said, you have a spirit of doubt. I do. I'm not going to have it any longer. I took the name of Jesus. I wage war against that spirit. Now you know me. If I read it, that's it. Though none go with me, I'm sticking to the Word of God. You know that about me, don't you? It wasn't always like that. Because it was a sin that easily beset me. I'd read it. I want to believe that, but I can't. I just can't. I can't believe it. Demon spirit. You know, demon spirits don't make you always froth at the mouth. You know, we think that, oh, those demons, you know. They're not like, you know, if you have a demon, you spit up green. That's in the movies. Remember what the Bible says about Satan, about Lucifer. He was wise above all the angels. This is no doofus. He doesn't show up in a red suit and horns. He's slick. He's sly. Aren't we told in Genesis 3 that the serpent was more cunning? You know what cunning is. He hides in the shadows. He hides in the darkness. He hides in your life in places that you don't recognize He's there. Maybe a good prayer for all of us would be, Lord, is there a sin that doth easily beset me? Is there something in my life that I have, without my realizing it, that I have given place to a demonic spirit that hinders me, hurts me, harms me, hurts my testimony, hinders me in my relationship with You? Open my spiritual eyes so that I might see. And once you see it, if you see it, now I'm not saying we need to go look under every rock and there's a demon. That's not what I'm saying here. But I am saying what Peter said. Be alert, be vigilant, for your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He will worm his way into your life in lots of different ways that you don't know. He'll put a person in your life that you don't like. Let's face it, everybody's not easy to like. So he'll put somebody in your life, a member of your family, an uncle, a cousin, a brother-in-law, a mother-in-law, a sibling, somebody at work, somebody at school, a neighbor. I had one. And that person in your life will cause you to think thoughts, bring forth angers, and so on and so forth. And when you begin to walk in those areas, there's that devil jump up on your shoulder, whisper in your ear. And the next thing you know, oh, you're feeling so good about being so angry at that person. Oh, it makes me feel so good just to ponder how awful that person is. And the next thing you know, you've got a stronghold built up in your life. Then you're angry at your husband, who did nothing. I mean, poor guy, we all know husbands never do anything anyway, don't we? I mean, the poor guy, he's just helpless, and all of a sudden you're mad at him, and he doesn't know why. That's right, I mean, this is what happens. And then you're angry at everybody. So, you know, these things, these demonic influences worm their way into your lives, into our lives, if they can. Just be very careful. That's why it is important that we look always to the Word, looking to Jesus, the author, looking at the Word. How do I react to this person I don't like? How do I react to this person who mistreated me? I don't want a strong, it costs too much to play those games in the flesh. It just costs too much. It builds up strongholds in your life, and then you lose your freedom. I don't want to lose my freedom. How about you? Every man's bands were what? Loosed. Loosed. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that every person within the sound of my voice, whether it is here today or whether it is some future date to someone who may listen to this message, would sincerely pray and ask you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would give illumination. If there be an area in our lives where we are giving access to those demonic influences and spirits that rob us of our liberty, rob us of our freedom, rob us of our potential to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to bring us into imprisonment and slavery, bondage, and establish strongholds in our lives, that you would show us what those influences are. Show us any demonic activity that is going on in our lives. We know how to deal with it because you've given us mighty spiritual weapons that are mighty in God and not carnal, not fleshly, but spiritual. You've given us the name of Jesus. You've given us all authority here in the earth. We abhor, hate any evil activity in our lives, anything that robs us of our testimony, that hinders the abundance of life that Jesus has provided for us. And we thank you for the authority to use that name, that we might drive these influences far from us, and that we might live pure and holy and free. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Now, one final thing, and that is this. If you find yourself in a situation where you are unable to get yourself free, then get some spiritual help. Get someone who you believe has the authority to help you and to minister with you, to you, and help you find deliverance. If you are this demon-possessed little fortune-telling damsel, you find a Paul. Are you listening?
Amen.
And there are Pauls right here in this room. Okay?